May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thy face, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Happy are they who are called to the wedding supper of the Lamb. The Lord is calling each one of us to the wedding supper of the Lamb. When we prepare ourselves for this invitation and receive its call, we will find that the Lord's Holy Supper can be an occasion for happiness and for peace, like a wonderful supper in celebration of a wedding. Like the celebration of a man and a woman coming together and devoting themselves to the Lord and to each other, we can look at Holy Supper as a celebration of the Lord's power to unite His divine love and wisdom in each one of us. And this is a celebration that the Lord can prepare us for regularly. The context of this blessing in the story of the book of Revelation helps us see how the Lord can prepare us for Holy Supper. What happens before the angel announces, "Happy are they who have been called to the wedding supper of the Lamb," in Revelation, tells us a lot about how taking Holy Supper can be an occasion for deep happiness and deep peace. The angel made this statement to John near the end of the book of Revelation, and this statement came directly after Babylon had been burnt to the ground in the vision that John saw from Patmos. As John watched the smoke rising from the rubble of Babylon, a crowd of many in heaven explained that the Lord has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her harlotry. From this story in Revelation, we can see that we need to first come out of Babylon to experience the happiness of the wedding supper of the Lamb. We need to come out of the influence of this city represented by a seductive harlot. Come out of her, my people, it says, that you become not partakers of her sins, that you receive not her plagues. When we take the Holy Supper, we can bring any evil that we are struggling with to the Lord, so He can help lead us out of it, and so that that evil can be burnt to the ground in our hearts. We can have in mind an evil that we are struggling with when we take the Holy Supper, an evil that we need to judge with wisdom from the Lord, an evil that needs to be exposed as coming from the love of self or the love of the world, and an evil that will burn itself to the ground in our hearts when the Lord helps us see that it comes from evil spirits, and of course doesn't come from the Lord, and doesn't even come from us. But in the context of this specific story in the Word, it is the evil represented by Babylon that is judged, the evil of the love of dominion. And this is the context for a very good reason. In divine providence, the Lord teaches us that the hardest of all combats is with the love of rule from the love of self. He who subdues this easily subdues all other loves, for this is their head. One reason this evil may be so difficult to overcome is the nature of the delight that comes from this evil. The Lord led Swedenborg to experience this delight himself and then report the experience to us in the heavenly doctrine. And with this report from the Lord, we can more readily recognize this delight and recognize it when we may feel it ourselves and then pray to the Lord for help fighting against it. Here's how the love of dominion and the delight that comes from it is described. It was such as to surpass all the delights that are in the world. It was a delight possessing the whole mind from its inmost things to its outermost. But in the body, it was felt as something pleasant and agreeable and a feeling of elation in the breast. It was also granted me to perceive that from this delight, as from their fountainhead, there issued the delights of evils of all kinds, as adultery, revenge, fraud, slander, and evil doing in general. It says a feeling of elation in the breast. Is this a delight that we can relate to? We need to be on the watch for the love of dominion in ourselves. When this love goes unchecked, with heads of state, for example, they want to rule over the entire world. When this love goes unchecked with clergy, they want to be God. But the Lord cautions us that not just kings and priests are susceptible to the love of dominion. The Lord teaches that emperors, kings, and dukes who were born and brought up to positions of power, if they humble themselves to the Lord, are sometimes less set on the love of power than those of lowly origin who from pride seek high rank more than others. The Lord also had Swedenborg meet an evil spirit who in his life on earth was a house servant, but who had developed a love of dominion so deeply within himself that he lived eternally in a lower region of hell. The elation in the breast that comes from the love of dominion can find us no matter where we are in life. If we have ever felt pleased when someone has submitted to our will, then we may be able to relate to this delight. When we feel delight in making a person do what we want them to do for our own purposes, we are feeling the delight of the love of dominion. And this can happen at home in our marriages as much as it can happen outside of our home too. The Lord teaches us in conjugal love that the difference between conjugal friendship and servile friendship in marriages is as the difference between light and shade. Among the first things of conjugal love, we are taught, is the freedom of the wills of a husband and a wife to unite. A desire for dominion transforms this freedom into servitude. Whether it is a co-worker, a friend, or a spouse, or even a perfect stranger, if we get delight from having power over another for our own sake and not for the sake of use, then we need to pray to the Lord for help getting out of Babylon. Now, in our story in Revelation, this evil had grown to its worst possible extent. It had grown to the point of dominion over the Lord and the Word, as represented by the horrifying image of Babylon in the likeness of a harlot riding upon a terrifying beast. But the love of dominion does not, of course, start this way. It grows choice by choice by choice. Every time we choose the delight of ruling over another for selfish purposes, it grows. And no matter where we are in working to fight off this evil, we can receive the call from the Lord to His Holy Supper, and it will help. The Babylon in us will begin to crumble to the ground when we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lord teaches us that by the Holy Supper is effected the conjunction of the Lord with the man of the church, or a marriage, if the man, after repentance, goes directly to Him. We can take our sins to the Lord so He can lead us to live a new life. And we can do this without fear of punishment. The Lord does not punish us for anything. The Lord does not punish at all. He is the Lamb. He wants with all of His divine heart to help us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb, is the one waiting for us at the wedding supper. Approaching the Lord, knowing only He can help us, because He is the source of innocence itself, is how we can accept His invitation to the wedding supper. Our willingness to go to the Lord for help is our preparation for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And when we do this, the effects go way beyond just us. Angels are affected deeply with delight when we take the Holy Supper. Just like our story in Revelation, we can picture the delight of the angels when they perceive that we are going to the wedding supper of the Lamb, ready to receive help from the Lord. Perhaps they will say the same thing about us as they said about those fleeing from Babylon in John's vision. Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God, they said. As we pray to the Lord for help and the rubble of an evil love smolders in our past, perhaps the angels will say for us, Alleluia. For the Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. And finally, as we think about what it means to take part in the wedding supper of the Lamb, perhaps it should not surprise us how a wedding celebration in heaven is described. We learn in Conjugal Love that when Swedenborg observed a wedding in heaven, after he saw the exchange of pledges, it says, "The servants then took bread from the two tables, and cups now filled with wine from the tables, and gave to each of the guests his bread and his cup, and they ate and drank." As it says in the book of Revelation, "The wedding of the Lamb is come, and his wife has prepared herself. Happy are they who have been called to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Amen. And now, to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.